Yeah, we, you know, we thank God that, you know, we can gather together to praise his name, to pray to him, and to listen to the word of God. I will not take it for granted, because we know this is our time with God, and every time we've made the appointment to speak with God and to be with him, you know, he always speaks to us in simple ways, but and he keeps building us up, you know. And so we are, you know, we've been able to see the millennial reign of Christ. We've seen him, you know, rule for 1,000 years, and we've seen the devil came, and he was, he wanted to, you know, he was first locked up for the 1,000 years, but at the end of the 1,000 years, he was released for a short while. He went and deceived the nations. They were defeated by Christ, and then he was thrown into the lake of fire, where he joined up, you know, the beast, and that's the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then now we are today going to look at the judgment of Christ. And here we will see what is called the Great White Throne Judgment, and we'll also try to have an understanding of there are some schools of thought in the judgment, and which we will look at it, but then we'll also look at what's our core belief, and what is it key for us with regards to the judgment. And so that's what we'll look at today. And we are reading from Revelation chapter 20, and from verse 11 it says, "Then I saw," Revelation 20 from verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And then I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So when we see here, we see that there is a great white throne, and on him who sat upon it, you know, and the Lord Jesus sat upon it. And what the Bible tells us is that judgment has been committed to Christ. And what we know is that Jesus is the one who's going to judge, and he will determine, you know, based on, everyone will be judged according to their deeds, what they have done. And what we see is that the Bible tells us that there were books that were open. Now, the books, I believe, are the books of our actions, the books of our lives, and everyone has a specific book in which everything that they do, whether good or bad, is written. And but what is most important, it's not those books that determine whether we go to heaven or not, but what is key is that there is the book of life, which is the most important book that determines whether you go to heaven or not. And the book of life, the Bible says, and everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, there are those who believe that there are, and okay, this judgment seat of Christ is what we call, you know, it's an elevated platform, because they call it Bema, which is the great white throne judgment. Now, let me first explain. So now there are three schools of thought that people say when they think of judgment. So some people believe there are three judgments, okay? Now, the first judgment they think of is read in Matthew 25. Maybe we can go there. Matthew 25 from verse 31 to 36. If we go there, we'll see Matthew 25:31-36. And the Bible says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did you see us, you know, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and come to you?' Then the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did this to the least of my brothers, even to the least of them, you did to me.' And he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the lake of fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. You did not visit me.' Then they themselves will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' And then he will answer to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do this to the least of my brothers, you did not do it to me. This will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.'" So we can see, sorry, I did not read verse 32. It says, "All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left." Now, when we see that, if you look at what is happening in the great throne judgment, where after that judgment, people are thrown into the lake of fire, those who do not believe in Christ, you can actually say that this judgment actually represents that final judgment. But there are some people who believe that, no, this is different. It will happen before the millennium, and it will determine those who will enter the millennial kingdom. Now, I think if you look at scripture, you can actually see that after that judgment, I mean, clearly, it's similar to what we have read, but that's a point of belief. But what we see and what we can rest on is that there's going to be a judgment between the righteous and the unrighteous, and Christ will say the righteous ones will go to his right, who are the sheep, and then the unrighteous ones or the evil will go to his left, and those who are determined to be wicked will be thrown into the lake of fire. And what is the determination? We said, "And everyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." If you see, and there's also a verse in Revelation 17, verse 8, that also tells us that whose names were not written in the book of life before the foundation of the world. And this also speaks, you know, to Paul's teaching, where he was teaching us that, you know, that God predestined us that we should be born again, that before he knew us before we were born. He knew us and in Christ, you know, he knew us in Christ, and the Lamb of Christ, Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world. So there's also, you know, an aspect that, you know, I mean, that or that, that speaks to that aspect that even before the world was formed, God knew us, God loved us, God chose us in him that we shall be saved. Now, the other judgment that we've talked about is which we have read, which the second judgment that we think about is what we call the judgment seat of Christ. And this we are going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And the simplicity of this understanding of this judgment, this second judgment, is the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed or paid according to his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, here is where there is a school of thought that believes that there will be first a judgment for the unrighteous people, in that to separate the sheep from the goats and to separate the wicked from the righteous, and the wicked would be thrown into the lake of fire. But also, as we have read, that books were open and everyone was judged according to what he has done. So now there are those that believe that now this point of is where we get rewards, and this is what is called Ribima, which is like an elevated platform where every believer shall be judged according to what he has done. And this is what the Bible says, we shall all receive a reward for the works, for the things that we did, whether good or bad, in service to God. And this is the place where we see, and constantly in scriptures we see, that those who are more faithful, you know, those who did, who gave themselves to the work of God, they'll be given authority to judge over cities, over kingdoms, you know, over 10 cities, over. So God is not unjust. Yes, in his righteousness, it is only our faith in Christ that gets us to heaven, in that when we have put our faith in Christ, then our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But everyone that, yes, has entered the Lamb's Book of Life still has a responsibility on the earth. And that's why the Bible says that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us. So now when we see in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it tells us that everyone shall, you know, receive the reward. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then, of course, now the third aspect that we have read, which is clear, is where at the great white throne judgment, where the unbelievers and the believers are judged, the believers and the unbelievers are separated according to their works, and they are sentenced to everlasting punishment in the lake of fire, those who have failed to believe. Now, as I've said, there are people who believe there are three forms of judgment: the separation of the sheep from the goats, separation of the judgment of rewards, the bema seat of Christ, and the third one is the great white throne judgment, where the, you know, people are thrown into the lake of fire. But if we look at Revelation, all these components are just in the same. So I believe that it is possible, or rather ideally, it could be just one form of judgment, whether you think it is the three aspects or not. But I personally believe that all happen at the same time, but whichever school of thought, it doesn't change the fact that, first of all, Jesus Christ will be the judge of all believers. Everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Number two, because everyone will appear before the judgment of Christ, we shall be punished or made righteous or given rewards based on what we have done. The Bible says those who live in wickedness, they store up wrath for themselves. And you see, because everyone will be paid according to what they have done, Christ is a righteous judge. And how is he righteous? Everyone who put his faith in him and whose name is written in the book of life, and the Bible says, never will I blot them, their name, never will I blot their name from the Lamb's Book of Life. So as long as our names are written in the Book of Life, we shall receive that final reward of entering into the kingdom of God. And that is where we come back to the place where we realize that if we are to be judged according to what we have done, the Bible says if our sins were to be counted against us, no one will stand. The righteousness that has been revealed, which is from first to last, is that righteousness that is by faith. It is only by us putting our faith in Christ is the only assurance that we have of getting to heaven. Why? Because if we think ourselves, no matter how much we try, no matter how much effort we do, we realize that we fall short. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what God helps us is that he gives us that new nature. He gives us the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit continues to renew our nature, to renew us, to walk in righteousness, to walk in truth, and as we are constantly putting our hope in God, our faith in God, that it is his final, his judgment is left to him, and all we have done is just to put our faith in him. So Christ is the ultimate judge. And it is only our faith in him that determines our access to that world, to that new world that, that Christ will bring. And also, we can also be sure that, yes, we will all be judged. Even believers will be judged. But we will not be judged for judgment, but we will be judged for rewards. And each and every one of us, we will receive our reward. And the Bible says we will all give an account for what we have done in the body. And maybe let's look at Romans 14. And we see also what Paul says, because he also keeps trying to show us that we will understand, you know, with regards to, you know, to judgment. And Romans chapter 14 verse 10, it says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God." And the Bible says, "For it is written, as I live, every knee shall bow before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Every one of us will have to give an account of ourselves to God. So, either way, whichever view you hold, that's fine. But what is key, we must know that each of us will appear before Christ. We'll give our reward, we'll give our account, and based on our faith, remember it says, to do what is the work of God, believe in the one he sent. Jesus, when he was asked, what is it that we need to do the work of God? Believe in the one he sent. And this belief translates also to your life. And someone divided belief into two, be and live. That means as you be, you're made righteous, then you also live. So how we live and how we are is also a reflection of our belief. So it's not just the confession. You know, people say, no, I'm saved. Yeah. But they don't live as saved people. But in our lives, in our actions, because at the end of the day, there shall be rewards. And for me, I will say, I think it's something to look forward with joy, that even as we labor for the Lord, as we know that he is the one that is laboring through us, we know that it is not in vain. And the righteous judge, when that time comes, when we will be in the world to come, those who are faithful, they shall be put in charge over nations. They shall be put in charge over people. You know, authority shall be granted based on our reward, based on how much we labored for the Lord. And that's why it encourages us to keep on laboring, to keep on fighting, and to keep on, you know, reaching out for the lost, to keep on doing our prayer, to keep on studying our word, to keep on impacting here and there. Why? Because we know God is a faithful and righteous judge. He will, his mercy is what will prevail over judgment. His mercy will triumph over judgment. I will choose to pause here and welcome reflections. And then tomorrow, by the grace of God, we'll go to Revelation chapter 20 and 21, and we'll be able to see the aspects of the new heaven and the new earth. And 21, and we'll be able to see, you know, and as well also eventually we will conclude with you know, going back to Eden, the river and the tree of life, and Eden restored. Yeah, so I think that's where I'll stop for today. And you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Mong, for that. And I think the message has been clear. However, there's one thing I've always wondered and always tried to understand, but very good will give me the grace to understand one day. So, you know, when the Bible says that, you know, our fate is already known for those that will be going to heaven and those that will be condemned, you know, and I'm also thinking of, you know, people like Judas Iscariot in the Bible, and the, being said that they have to do what they were doing to fulfill what was written. begin to ponder whether there is any chance, in case, you know, for anyone to try and change their fate. Because God will forgive me for this, but I'm just wondering the fairness there.
Yeah.
On and known that for you, your fate is you're going to be condemned. So whatever you do, you're already written. So yes, I don't know. Maybe does it mean we before we came into the world, you know, we had already lived a certain life? And anyway, there are many questions that come into mind, but maybe you can help with that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Mary, maybe you can reflect and then I can respond once. Yeah. Okay, if maybe there are no reflections on your side. Yeah, so when you think of predestination and when we think of Ephesians and the understanding of predestination, the predestination that we have is in Christ, okay? Now, in God, you know, when he made man in his image and likeness, he chose us in him to be conformed to the image and likeness of his son, to be adopted. And this you can read from Ephesians. Now, what God has done is when he made man, he gave him the choice. Now, every one of us has a reality, or we have a reality in Christ that if we believe in him, we enter into that predestinated reality that God had prepared for us. But you see, God in his infinite mercy and grace, he has given each and every one of us the ability to decide our and fit, you understand? Now you see, when you encounter the message of God and you believe that actually God loved you even before you were born, then you become aware of that reality that God had created for you and he had chosen you. And when you believe that, then you are saved. You understand? Because we actually believe that we came from him. But you see, everyone who receives that message of Christ and rejects it, rejects that reality, that real life that was in Christ, and he suffers. And in fact, the Bible says, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile us back to God. You understand? So when you're saying you're reconciling someone, that means that this person originally was with God. You understand? And then that there was that breakaway. And that breakaway resulted in that, because of sin, we were separated from God. But when you're reconciling someone, you are bringing them back to their original place. Now, but that bringing back to their original place only happens by you making that choice. Now, when we think of that, even if you want to ask for Judas, Judas was with Christ all along. He was chosen. He was called an apostle. You can remember when they went to cast out devils and demons, he was among them. He was also cast out devils. He did the miracles with Jesus. He was with Jesus. But you see, he chose, the Bible tells us that he was a thief. And from time to time, he would take money from the coffers of Jesus. But Jesus still gave him the chance to repent. And he had the opportunity. And you can see until the point where it was beyond him, Satan took advantage of Judas. Now, my thinking is this. It could have been any. It could have even been one of them. I mean, Christ will still have fulfilled his purposes to die. He did not need necessarily Judas. It could have been another disciple. It could have been someone else. But he gave room for the devil to use him. He gave room for the devil to use him. So, At the end of the day, you have a responsibility and a choice. We are predestinated in Christ. No one is doomed. The Bible says, as long as we believe in him, we become adopted. You enter into that reality. So the open door is available for everyone. The Bible says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you don't call upon the name of the Lord, you continue in your reality, you end up in judgment, and you have no one to blame. The choice is ours. So someone will say, no, for me, God has already determined, I mean, those who will go to heaven, who will not go to heaven, who will go to hell. So for me, I'm doomed for hell, so I'm ready for hell. That is a choice. The person has chosen that. And if you follow there, you'll realize they love sin, they're happy with sin. So at the end of the day, it is a choice. The choice is not with God, the choice is with us. So it is us to choose. Like today, you could decide, you know what? I've been a Christian, but I'm tired. I want to marry another wife. I want to live in sin. That's your choice. And you cannot let a claim and tell God that, oh, you know, you created me for destruction. That is blame game. But that there is no room for that. Yeah. So the choice is ours. The choice is ours. Yeah. So any reflection, Mary, yeah, or Tabu, if you wanted to add something, yeah.
No, thank you so much.
No, okay.
Thank you.
It's okay, doctor.
Okay, thank you. No, it is well. I believe, the way the God is so vast in that even today, if you decide. You know, like the way the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you. Think of it that even if you decide to not believe in him, God in his reality is able to see all these different futures that you have. And in his mercy, he is able to bring you back into the system and bring someone to realign you. And that is why even when we fail and we come back, the Bible tells us, redeem the time. Why? Because God has a destiny that he has for us. It is us in our various choices. We create, infinite possibilities. But in all those possibilities, God knows them. And if his desire is that all men be saved. And so he desires that everyone comes to that truth. That's the desire of God. God actually does not desire anyone to end up in hell. The Bible says his heart is, and that's why he's patient with people. That's why you see people are doing wicked things. God is patient with them. Why? Because he's just hoping at some point they will just come and enter Christ and be saved and be reconciled to him. So that's all. Let's always have that heart to know that no matter what someone is doing, God still wants that person to be saved. And that's why we pray for unbelievers. That's why we speak to people. Even though you keep speaking to someone and they laugh, you keep inviting them for church and they laugh, keep doing it. Why? Because you're fulfilling God's agenda of bringing this person into the reality of Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We honor your holy name. Thank you for teaching us indeed that you shall separate us, and you shall separate the sheep from the goats, and you shall give each man the reward according to what they have done. And most importantly, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life shall be saved, shall enter into heaven, and those that are not shall be thrown into the lake of fire. I pray for your mercies that, Lord, may we be found faithful. May we carry on putting our faith in Christ, and everyone that is not saved, that, Lord, as they put their faith in Christ, that they shall be saved. We thank you for your word that you've spoken to us. We pray for our needs. We commit the day before us. Go ahead of us. Give us grace, favor, and direction. And in everything that we do, may your victory be with us. Sustain us in all these things. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day ahead.